This mic's pretty hot. I just don't want to hurt anybody. When I first started preaching, back in 1981, I didn't think you was preaching until at the end of the service you didn't have your voice left. I had not learned the art of preaching from your diaphragm, you know. So they asked me to preach, and of course I was just as green as could be. Before the Lord saved me, I was a heathen. I couldn't have told you what the four Gospels were. I didn't know John 3:16. And about 6 months after I was saved, the Lord called me to preach, and I preached my first message. Well, they asked me to preach we had a big grill out. Actually, it was a pig roast. We buried a pig in a pit and dug it up and ate it. I was supposed to preach after, you know, everybody got done eating. Boy, people were belching and just about ready to just go right out and go to sleep. I got up and preached on Psalm 27 for an hour and a half. I thought I was really doing something, man. And I knew I'd really messed up. An old brother got up to sing after I got me. He said, "Don't you just love Brother Ross? Bless his heart." Like, "Brother, don't ever try that again." I had to learn the hard way. But I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and preach the Bible. I count it as a great honor. I love your church, love your pastor and his family, and I'm thankful to be able to preach with these men, and really appreciated the messages and also the good food. I know what goes into putting this on and the work that goes in, and I just want to say thank you. It was a tremendous blessing. If you would, turn in your Bibles this afternoon to Ezekiel chapter 11. We're going to read the two passages of Scripture where this phrase, "and heart of flesh," is found. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 17. "Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. They shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God." If the Lord don't give you a new heart, you're going to be judged.
Yep, that's true.
By Almighty God.
Yep, amen.
Ezekiel 36. And verse 16. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and their own doings. Their way before me was as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. Pretty sad picture. But God intervenes. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean.
Amen.
From all your filthiness, and from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And heart of flesh. In our English Bibles, the book of Ezekiel are the only places where this phrase, in heart of flesh, occurs. In Ezekiel 11:19, and also chapter 36 and verse 26. And because this is a book that is rarely preached from, I felt it necessary to give you a little background on who Ezekiel was. He was a unique prophet because he was both a prophet and a priest. He was called into the prophetic ministry at the age of 30, around the year 593 BC. His ministry lasted 22 years, till 571 BC. The prophets that he was contemporary with were Jeremiah and Daniel. He was taken into captivity, Babylonian captivity, in 597 B.C., with 10,000 other Jewish exiles. It tells us in the book that he lived in Tel Aviv on the bank of the Kibar River, which was southeast of Babylon. The final destruction of Jerusalem and the conquest of Judah came in 586 B.C., but during the Babylonian captivity, false prophets deceived the Jewish exiles into thinking that they would speedily return and restore Judah and Jerusalem to their former glory. But Ezekiel made it clear that they were going to be judged, that Jerusalem was going to be overrun and destroyed by the Babylonians, and it's that point is key to understanding that much of Ezekiel's prophecy has to do with the future regeneration of elect Israel and the literal restoration to their land as promised in the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 17 and verses 6 through 8. If you read the book of Ezekiel carefully, I think you would agree that he definitely believed, like Jeremiah, that there is a future for the elect nation of Israel that would be spiritual in the sense that they would be born of God, and also literal, that they would be restored to their land. I believe in a future for the nation of Israel.
Amen.
Now Jeremiah, of course, brought out the terms of the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31, very similar to what Ezekiel is writing about. Now, these verses that we're going to consider should forever settle the way in which God saves sinners. I don't care if you're in the Old Testament or if you're in the New Testament, there are no dispensational changes in salvation. Everybody is saved by the power of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, giving them repentance and faith. In the Old Testament, that work was to look forward to the coming of Messiah. And now we look by the power of the Spirit to the finished work of Jesus Christ. There aren't different ways for people to be saved. There's not a way for a Jew to be saved that's different than a way a Gentile is to be saved. Jesus said you must be born again. That's true for Jews or Gentiles at any age.
That's right.
And it sickens me when people say, no, this people were saved this way here and then here and here. That's a lie.
Right.
Our text furnishes us with one of the clearest expositions in the Old Testament of the doctrines of regeneration and conversion. And that's what I want to deal with. Now, first of all, very simple, I'll make this into a good one. Well, I tell this to Joe Collins, he's a master of alliteration. And no matter where I'm at, if I'm preaching, by the time I'm done with my sermon, he's got it all put together just like it should be. Right. All the points alliterated. Very impressive, brother. All those deeds, how you lined him up. Good job, sister. We enjoyed that. Now, first of all, why an heart of flesh is needed. A fallen man has a stony heart. God's comment says, I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. The natural man's affections are hardened by sin and hardened against God, against His Word, against His law, against His ways, against His Christ. The natural man despises and hates the things of God. His desires are always bent toward evil. His moral nature is resistant to God. It doesn't flow with God. The natural man goes against God, runs away from God, resists all about the things of God. That's the condition of our heart. It's stony. And it's so hard that he can't even feel his knee. He's as dumb as a rock. You ever heard that phrase? I've had a lot of people hurl that at me before. You dumb as a rock. My dad said it to me a few times. You know what that means? A rock can't move by itself. It's hard. It's incapable of moving toward God or responding to God. That's the condition. That's the stony heart of man. The hardness and rebellion that constitutes man's heart, who he really is inside, is always manifest by his behavior. And you can see what God said of these Israelites that he had scattered. You see, God is holy. He is pure. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Man, on the other hand, is the complete opposite. He is willfully unclean, immoral. He drinks iniquity like water. Look what God's commentary was about the natural man, verse 17. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. This is what God says about the condition of man. He is unholy. So unholy, so impure, that the picture is he's like the blood of a removed woman. Filth, sin, condition of the natural man. God demands single devotion. I believe God's law is to be obeyed at every moment of every day by every person. That is what God requires. Because He's perfect. He's holy. He's just. His law is righteous and pure. And God demands perfection. That's why you can't be saved by the law. All it does is tell you, it's like the Old Testament priest when they looked at those who had leprosy. All they could say to them was, yep, you got it. You're diseased, you're defiled. And that's what the law does to us. It shows us just how far short we fall of the glory of God. God demands devotion and adoration. And worship and obedience.
Right.
Yet man corrupts himself by the idols of his own making. Look at verse 18. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted. Man is an idolater.
Yep.
Instead of being devoted to God, instead of putting Him first in everything, having no other gods before Him, man sets himself up as God. He sets the things that pleases him up as little gods that he becomes devoted to. You may be that way today. If you're covetous, and you put that and that desire to gain more and more and more, and yet lust is never satisfied, you're an idolater.
Amen.
You're putting the things of this world ahead of God.
Amen.
And everywhere the hardened heart of depraved man goes, you can see it in all of human history. Wherever this wicked heart exists, there will be profaneness. It has a defiling effect upon everyone around. That's why you better teach your kids, man. Teach them what's right and what's true and what's holy. Train them up in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Teach your children. Teach your grandchildren. Teach the kids of your church. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. It has an effect on people. They become profane from the influence of others. They're already profane in their hearts. And because of their depravity, they naturally gravitate toward it.
Right.
But look what he says here in verse 20. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. All of this shows you what comes out of a stony heart. Rebellion, resistance, hatred for God, idolatry, profaneness, defilement. Your heart, you ever heard people say, give your heart to Jesus? You'd be better off to give him your liver. Because your heart ain't worth a nickel in its natural state. It's depraved. It's ungodly. It's profane. The hard heart of man is part of the makeup of natural Adamic nature. There is nothing in it that can or will ever please God.
Amen.
They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. Never rise above that sinful nature. And do what's right and holy and pure. That's why it's the folly of free willism. That man somehow, his will, people think some kind of a little critter that's outside of his heart and his mind and somehow can make the right choice. No, it's perverted.
That's right.
Because the heart's bad.
Right. Amen.
It's completely ruined. You know what? In our text, you'll notice God doesn't say that He'll mend a heart. He doesn't say that He'll fix that heart. No. He's got to give you an entirely new heart.
Amen.
Which brings me to my second point.
Thank you, Lord.
How a heart of flesh is given. It says there in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you. It goes right back to it, doesn't it? It all goes back to one eternal source. God's grace.
Amen.
If you're saved here today, it's because God loved you with an everlasting love and determined to save you before the world began, entered into covenant with His Son and gave you to Jesus Christ to redeem, and the Spirit of God agreed to bring you out of a state of death and darkness and translate you into light and life.
Amen.
By the power of the new birth.
Amen.
It all goes back to the triune God.
Amen.
See, the phrase heart of flesh is used as a contrast to the stony heart. The stony heart is of man's own making.
Right.
It's hardened by his sin and rebellion and resistance and wickedness.
Amen.
But the heart of flesh must be given by God. God must literally create in you a new heart, a new nature.
Right.
A new heart of flesh is a gift that God gives to His elect. And you didn't have nothing to do with it. He's the one that made it. He's the one that put it in you. He's the one that brought you to life and graced you with the ability to exercise this new heart.
Yeah.
Matthew Henry said, renewing grace works as great a change in the soul as the turning of a dead stone into living flesh. This heart of flesh is all of God and it's all of grace, and He puts it in you graciously, powerfully, miraculously. Because I was stubborn, I was dead, I was resistant, I was wicked, I was ungodly.
Amen.
I was down in a pit, a miry pit of my own making. I had no desire for God. He reached down to where I was and lifted me up and said, I'm going to put a new heart in you. I'm going to put my spirit within you. I'm going to change you and take the bitterness and the cursing and the wickedness out of your heart and mouth, and I'm going to put praise and glory and worship.
Amen.
By putting a new heart in you.
Amen.
And that's how drastic it was.
Yes, sir.
He translated me out of darkness into His marvelous light. He took me off the broad road that leads to destruction and transplanted me on the straight and narrow.
That's right.
To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an act of spiritual creation.
Yeah.
You can't create a new heart. You don't have the ability. You don't have the know-how.
Right.
God has to do it.
Right.
He has to give you the new heart. God must create in man a new heart, a new nature that corresponds with God's holy nature. Because this is the beauty of this. God doesn't just give you a new heart just to be doing something. He gives you a new heart so that you'll be changed for time and eternity. Amen. To live for Him, to love Him, to honor Him.
Amen.
You see, the Holy Spirit is the author, the agent of this radical spiritual change, which is why Jesus told Nicodemus. Have you ever thought about this? When Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't give a formula to Nicodemus. He didn't say, now, here's how you're born again. He just told him, you must be born again. And it must be done by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you'll never see it, and you will never enter into the kingdom. It's a work of God.
Amen.
It's a work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I remember when I was first saved, I had memorized two verses. I don't care what question somebody would ask me. Hey, what do you think about the Trinity? I believe it. Don't know too much about it, but it's in there. But I do know this. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
I had those two verses down. That was my answer for everything.
Amen.
Grace.
Amen.
All from God.
Amen.
And then when I got a hold of verse 10. For we are His workmanship.
Amen.
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
This is a direct creation of God, this new heart. This heart of flesh. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, listen carefully, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new nature is a direct creation of God Almighty.
Amen.
And it's done in absolute righteousness and holiness.
Amen.
Something you knew nothing at all about. God put it in you. Put this new nature in you. This new heart. The Spirit creating a heart of flesh is a miraculous gift of grace. It enables that newly born believer to respond to God. Before, my heart was still and stubborn as a stone. When He gave me a heart of flesh, my heart realized, God made me realize what I was and what I needed. He showed me that I was a transgressor and that I needed to turn, that change of mind, change of life, and embrace Jesus Christ, the one who died, was buried, and rose again as the only hope for my soul and my salvation. That's what that new heart did. It immediately enabled me to respond to the glory and the grace of the gospel. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Amen.
How glorious is that? I have never tasted that the Lord is gracious. I knew nothing of His love. And here the Spirit of God comes. And the first work He does is He gives me life and shows me the love that's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
How glorious it is to have a new heart. Because it's an invincible, victorious work of grace that changes God's elect for time and eternity.
Right.
Today, if you have a new heart, you're entirely different than you used to be. In your thought process, your desires, your affections. You ever hear somebody say, I've been saved all my life? You're lying.
That's right.
It's not true. Ain't nobody been saved. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth as soon as they be born speaking lies. You had to have something changing.
Amen.
And it's the power of God in getting a new heart.
Amen.
And I believe that there are definite results when a heart of flesh is given.
That's right, brother.
I'll tell you what, I get sickened by Arminians. And all their free will and doctrine. But I'll tell you what, antinomians sicken me. It sickens me to think that somebody who says they're saved says that they can freely live like the devil. I can't. That's not the mark of somebody that has a new heart. You're changed. And if you're not changed, you're not saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what are the results or the evidence of the gift of a heart of flesh? And make no mistake about what I'm going to say. If you've been born of the Spirit, regenerated by His power, you have been radically changed. So much so that God says right here in Ezekiel, a new heart will I give you.
Right.
It is a change so powerful that it changes you forever.
Amen.
The very moment a new heart is created, it enables you to be sensible of your sin against the Holy God. And you immediately have a change of mind in true repentance. And you come to this place where you have a sincere desire to be cleansed from all your sins.
Amen.
From all your idolatry. From all your immorality. For all of your waywardness and stubbornness and rebellion and wickedness. I believe that the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
The sprinkling here, I believe, is a work of God. Sprinkle clean water on you. Now, there's a lot of them covenant theologians that go right to those. That, yeah, see there, that's baptism. That ain't got nothing to do with baptism at all. I love that track.
Yeah.
You ever seen that tract said what the Bible teaches about infant baptism?
Yeah.
You open it up, there ain't nothing in there. Not a single word, because there's nothing in the book about that. You see, you're not saved, you're not cleansed by H2O, but by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You all know Brother Brandon Van Sickle, the preacher from my church.
Yeah.
He got a new song out. Did he sing it for you yet?
Yeah.
I call it the Campbellite Killer. Because he says, I'm not washed in the tub, I'm washed in the blood. Boy, it's a catchy little tune. I really like it. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You need to be cleansed.
Right.
And the only way that you can be cleansed and washed is by the blood of the Lamb. Wherever there is a new heart, you will also find repentance along with the desire to be cleansed and forgiven through faith in the death, the burial of Jesus, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the positional cleansing of justification.
Amen.
And I am so thankful that today, by the grace of God and by the finished work of Jesus Christ, I can say with all confidence, due to His work and His grace, I am accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
I am complete in Him.
Amen.
Because of what His work did.
Amen.
For a wretched old sinner.
Yeah,
But not only that, if you have a new heart, God's Holy Spirit, who created that new heart of flesh, now lives in you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Folks, this is Old Testament. That's where this is. You see, I believe that that's how God always works. They were dead in trespasses and sins in the Old Testament. Dead and trespassing sins in the New Testament. The only hope that men had is the power of the Spirit of God bringing them to life, give them a new heart, and give them the ability to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But a new God's Spirit is given to His elect. I often think of the condescension of Christ and how glorious it was that He left the glories of heaven and He became a man. God manifested in the flesh and lived a perfect life and was willing to take all of my sin, every single one of them, and be punished in my stead and die for me.
Amen.
And raise again to give me life.
Thank you, Lord.
But how about the condescension of the Holy Spirit, who brings you life and then lives within you throughout eternity? That's a glorious truth. That we're bought with a price and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And He teaches and enlightens and convicts and encourages and empowers and leads and sanctifies. Why does He put this new Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in us? To conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, to wean us from the wickedness and idolatry of this world, to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
That's the work of the Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
And He does that every moment of His existence in us. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His.
That's right. Amen.
The Spirit of God will cause you to walk in God's ways. Look what it says. I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And shall keep my judgments and do them.
Yep.
Hey, there's no room for antinomianism right there. If you're saved, you better start acting like it. If you have a new heart, you better have affection. You better set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
If you have a new heart and you have a new spirit, you'll have a desire to walk in God's ways, to obey His commands, to love His law, and do what God says in His Word. That's how we manifest our love for Him. If you love me, keep my commands.
Amen.
No longer a hard-hearted rebel. Now you have a heart that responds to God and desires to bring forth spiritual fruit. Now that's somebody that's really been changed.
That's right.
The mark of a truly regenerate man with a new heart is to love what God loves and hate what He hates. You know what Paul said in Romans 7? I think it's a classic statement. After he talks about the battle within, between the heart, the flesh, and the spirit.
Yeah.
He said, but I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
Right. Amen.
I've been given a new heart.
Yes, sir.
His Spirit dwells within me, and now I love what I formerly opposed.
That's right.
Now I desire to live and obey what I was hard to before. David said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. See, there's a big change. When God gives you a new heart, we want to follow His statutes and His judgments and His truths.
Amen.
I'm so glad he gave me a new heart. Because my hard heart was so opposed to God. So opposed that I didn't see the light. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That was my sorry condition. But I'll never forget the day when he gave me a new heart.
Amen.
That day, I didn't hear a voice from heaven. There wasn't a lightning strike. But I can remember so vividly looking at Greg Rittenhouse and saying, I need to be saved. He said, that's what he looked at me real funny. Like, that's what I've been trying to tell you for 10 months. I said, no, man, you don't understand. I need to be saved right now. I wanted Jesus Christ more than anything in the world. Because God had given me a new heart.
Amen.
It's been nearly 39 years. How glorious to be saved by sovereign grace. To be a recipient of this glorious heart transplant. And you know what? This new heart, it never wears out. It's going to go on throughout all eternity. Worshiping and praising our great Savior. If you have a new heart, a heart of flesh, it should be pliable and obedient and with a desire to serve the Lord and to love the Lord. Come on up, preacher. Can I have this water?